Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We are now near the end of our Advent season, and Christmas is, if you can believe it, just about 1 week away. It's kind of going fast, if you ask me. We've spoken much this Advent season about the great promises of God, about how He will send a Savior to the house of Israel, the long-awaited Savior from Adam and Eve, to finally rid the world of sin. We have seen Him promise to be with God's people always, to be with them in every trial and temptation, to give them His law, to show them how they will go forth and be with God. But there's just one problem with what we're talking about here today. When we talk about the Old Testament promises of God, when we talk about Yahweh, the Lord of Israel, there's that one word, his one title, Lord of Israel, God of Israel. And I suspect, though I might be wrong, that no one here in the church, or maybe watching on Facebook Live, can actually track their lineage back to ancient Israel, or going back to the Jewish people. I certainly can't. I am a German and a Swede, about as far removed from a Jew as you can be. But this is a problem, because God's promises are for the people of Israel, and we are not it, far from it. We are Gentiles, the Bible calls us. Gentiles is just a word for foreigner, not connected with the promises of God. And God made very clear in the Old Testament how He thought about these Gentiles. He told Israel to go out and destroy them utterly from the land of Canaan to the very last woman and child and babe. God was not with them when Israel came and destroyed them. Always His hand was against them when Israel trusted in Him. And yet here we stand in 2020, Christians and Gentiles. Of course, we all know the end story. We all know that Christ comes into this world and He is the desire of nations, binding all into one people through Him. He who is Israel reduced to one person became Israel for all. And all who trust in Jesus Christ are considered sons and daughters of God. I should be able to wrap this all up. Be the fastest sermon I ever preached of a whole minute and 30 seconds. But there's something else with this. This wasn't a problem that was settled and over with when Jesus came, died on the cross, and went back into heaven. This problem actually was going on in the early church. You see, it was kind of in the first church council, there was the idea that people had to be Jewish first. They had to follow all the tabernacle laws. You had to be circumcised. You had to follow all the Jewish cleansing rites if you were going to be a Christian. They quickly denounced that. Didn't help that Peter then a couple of years later, or maybe even a couple of months later, went to the church of Galatia. And he wouldn't eat with the Gentiles there because of the Jewish Christians thinking that those Gentile Christians were unclean and not worthy to be with Peter. Paul had some very unkind words for Peter on that. And yet even Paul was very straightforward in when he was talking about God's promise for Israel alone. And he's very explicit. He says in his letter to the Ephesians, but now when Christ He says to them, sorry, in Romans, they are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. From their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, the Messiah, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. Even Paul admits, Gentiles are not Israelites. But then why are we here? How is it that we find ourselves Christians now in 2020? Well, it does go back to Jesus, but it goes farther back than that. Because God's promise was also for the Gentiles. Maybe you haven't heard of it, but Isaiah does speak on it. We hear it actually from our text today, verses 23 through 25. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria will enter into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria. And Egypt will serve Yahweh with Assyria. In that day Israel will be a third with respect to Egypt and Assyria, a source of blessing in the midst of the earth, each of whom Yahweh of hosts will have blessed by saying, "Blessed be my people Egypt, and the work of my hands Assyria, and my inheritance, Israel." You have to wonder what a radical promise that was. Think back. 2 weeks ago, I stood and I was telling you about the Assyrians, about how they came and just conquered all of Israel to the north, how they came and they destroyed them utterly and took them away. And now they were coming after Jerusalem, and how they said that God was weak, God was thus wrong, and that the gods of Assyria were more powerful than the God of Yahweh. And the Lord protected his people, Israel, and struck down the Assyrian army. But look at Egypt. Going far back even then, look what God did to Egypt. Back in the day, there were the plagues, those terrible, wonderful signs of God that destroyed and toppled the Egyptian gods and brought his own people out of it. And how God in the Red Sea flooded and destroyed the chariots of Pharaoh. And now, in Isaiah, he's speaking a promise that Egypt will praise his name, that Assyria will be his children. It makes no sense. We believe in a God that is always constant, and yet it seems here he's contradicting himself. When Isaiah was prophesying this, his contemporaries must have thought of a madman, crazy. And yet, it isn't. For the one who would come to bind all of Israel, to save God's people from their sins, Jesus the Christ came. You look, and who are the first to greet him? Plain shepherds in fields, not kings and mighty people, but simple workers. And they came and they told many people, but the next ones we know that greet him? Magi from the east, Gentiles who trusted in the promise of God, who had to tell even the king of the Jews at that time exactly what was going on in his own kingdom. And look how he responded. He tried to kill the Christ child. Kind of funny then that Joseph was told in a dream to take Jesus to Egypt, where he would be born and raised and eventually come out, and the word of God came out from Egypt to the land of his birth. And here we see what God was doing. He was making a highway. He was building a bridge between Israel, Assyria, and Egypt. One that connected them all in one person. One that connected them all into one being. Yes, we understand that in Christ, all are his children. But you see the radical promises of God. How he promises that he will unite all people. He has come to save the whole world. And his people are Jesus. Israel reduced to one person who, through him, gained all the promises of God. And through him and his death and his resurrection, fulfilled all the promises of God. And through our baptism, in the washing of his blood, we have those promises ourselves. We are here today as part of that fulfillment of the promise that there will be a highway made between Egypt, Assyria, and Israel in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus, Israel's Messiah, you have been reconciled to God of ancient Israel. Through Jesus, the one mediator, you and I belong to the God of Abraham, the God of Moses, the God of Joshua, the God of King David, the God of Elijah, the God of Isaiah, the prophets Ezra, Nehemiah, and the whole history of Israel. You belong to that God. The God you read about in that first 39 books of the Bible is your God. It's an amazing history, one of promises that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled in the midst even today. The God of Isaiah has been fulfilling those ancient promises now for 2,000 years. You are part of it. I am part of it. Thanks be to God. Amen.